Capital 263.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Technology. This is a podcast about tech, nerdy stuff, and more nerdy stuff. Brought to you by Capital 263, the only podcast network in Zimbabwe. Free to say it, free to do it. My name is Dion.
Hi, everyone. My name is Great and I'm on Wolf.
Hello, I am Dion Chawaguta. I know you missed me, guys.
Yeah, it's been too long.
Nobody misses you.
No. Oh, why do you have to be so?
Why do you have to be this person, Gary?
Because I have to be, man. We all can be good guys, right?
So, yeah. Oh, I get it. You have to be the heel, as they say. they always say that in wrestling. Like, people always complain about John Cena. Like, why is this guy always the good guy? Like, that would be amazing. Imagine if he just went bad. I start watching wrestling for that.
Interesting. Anyway, Bruce Wayne always has his enemies.
I never watched wrestling. I'm just saying.
If you didn't get that, Dion is saying he is Bruce Wayne.
I'm not saying so,
really.
And he mainly does Marvel comics, just so that you can know. So
yes,
DC guys,
don't expose me to the world, man.
No, I'm just you know. Well, yeah, it's the way it is. guys, a lot of things have happened this week. No, especially a lot of things happened today, actually. And a lot of people, today is, for reference, Friday the 24th of February, 2017. And a few things have happened. So, we start with the news. And we're going to talk mainly about messaging today, because that's what it's about mainly. A lot of things have happened. So, first things first. We'll start with Google. And we've talked about it last week. We talked about how they had, the four or five different messaging apps.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They have a new one again. Well, they don't have a new one.
Come to think of it, does anyone remember GChat?
GChat, what? No,
I once joined it.
You don't remember Google Chat? Ah, dude, I used to use it all the time.
I once joined it. It was really good.
Well, those were my mixes.
For the time. It was
and
good
for those who don't know what GChat was like another attempt.
Yeah, people like me.
At Google's. At Google to get into the social scene. But, well, it's sort of
it was Google's attempt at trying to basically out Facebook.
Yeah, it was good for a few months. Yeah. Because
it was never good.
No,
I thought it was good.
It sort of picked up in the first few months, but then it went dead after that.
Gary's a Google fan.
What year was this?
What was it? 2013.
Not even 13. It was older than 13.
What is it?
Around the 2009.
2009.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. Those were my mixes.
So that means I joined it when it was already dead.
Wow.
Wow.
You joined a dead circus.
But nobody remembers Mixit. So yeah.
Yeah, Mixit. Oh, Mixit was bad. But yeah, Mixit in South Africa was the biggest thing.
Actually, Mixit. I joined Mixit. Remember ASLR?
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, ASLR. Was it age?
Sex, language, race.
Race.
I don't remember that.
So when you meet someone new, right? Like you just put a random number on your phone or something, and you meet someone new, or in a chat room, one of those chat rooms.
Yes.
You would meet someone and then you'd inbox them. So when you inbox them, you don't like say, "Oh hi, what's up?" No, you just say like, "Hey, ASLR." Then they'd say what, 12M, Johannesburg, W, and you'd be like, "Oh okay, he's a 12-year-old white dude in Johannesburg."
Okay.
Although
I
wouldn't
weird.
Get that kind of response. I'd usually get F's. Moving on.
Nine-year-old F.
No, that's
Johannesburg. Chinese.
I don't know why Chinese. I wouldn't go for... I'll just keep quiet.
Moving on.
Start. So, I don't know. They're now saying that we're moving on to something called Android Messages. I'm not sure if this is the stock Android messaging app or is it like a new app that they're going to make, because the stock Android app is very, very weak.
Was there ever a really proper stock Android app? Because it was Google Plus for a while and then Messenger for a while.
Then we had
messaging,
Hangouts.
And then Hangouts and then...
Right now it's currently Hangouts. Well, I think Hangouts is really good. It works good as a messaging app. So I think they're going to try to integrate, Hangouts into every phone that's going to be coming out with Android. That would work really great with Android. And, Hangouts has got a number of purposes. You can use it for emails, for regular texting. You can also attach messages and I know most messaging apps, you can now do that, but then it was a stock default thingy for Android.
Yeah.
Phones, yes.
But then I think with messaging, it's a bit tricky because the people, one thing people don't notice is that people don't care about features when it comes to messaging apps. What they care about is the customer base, like who's there. Like, I could be the only one using Allo, but then if no one that I know uses Allo, then I won't use Allo, regardless of whether I like it or not.
True. There's really no point then.
Yes.
So, then, yeah?
I think, I don't know, maybe they're just trying to make it efficient for people, because certain phones have got their own social networks, like these weird social networks, and I think that they're just trying to integrate people into one platform by making this move.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
What I think is important here is that we have sort of like a universal platform. Basically, Google's answer to iMessage.
Exactly. That's why that's basically the plan here.
But haven't we seen this over and over again? Every time they release a new messaging app, people say that. Like, this is supposed to be the iMessaging for Google. Like, when Allo came out, for example, people were saying, yeah, this is going to be the one to actually become the iMessaging for Android because of the features and Google Assistant and stuff. But then...
I honestly thought that Allo and Duo would end up actually being the defaults.
You know, the problem with Google Allo and thingy is that they've got these other features that nobody... People with budget Android phones really can't use. I mean, look at that application. It's got these nice visuals and everything. But somebody with a $100 Android phone is not going to be able to manage that.
And that's the thing, because Google's main, like their main market, especially when you're looking at like the worldwide, are those, especially in India, China to some extent, even here in Africa. It's a very big market, and a lot of these people use these, you know, like their Android One phones. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, a lot of people are actually still using Android 2, although it's getting phased out slowly, because now...
I'm talking about the actual hardware. They had this program called Android 1.
Serious?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Basically, they were saying, they talked to hardware manufacturers and say, can you please make a $100 phone? And then we'll market it and deal with the selling of it and everything.
Was it the same one that Econet was selling?
I think so. I don't remember seeing anything from Zimbabwe, but I think so.
It was the one. I think Econet used to sell those. Those were like the first Android phones that had sort of weird gray orange theme.
Yeah, those ones.
Exactly. People still have those.
Yeah, I mean, Google did discontinue
the Titans.
Way before the Titans.
Those brick phones.
Dude, okay, you still remember the G-Tide era around time?
Oh God, here we go.
They've discontinued it right now because it wasn't as successful as they wanted it to be. And then you look at that and say, if someone was supposed to use a phone like that, how would they run Allo? How would they run Duo? How many people would be willing to go to Allo or Duo? And you know, in the rest of the world, it's not that hard. If Google somehow make a really magical messaging app that actually works, people would move. But you come into Zimbabwe, for example. How many people rely on WhatsApp bundles? Will Econet, NetOne, and them make like an Allo bundle?
Yeah.
They won't. And that's another thing that's really like a problem. And it's not only in Zimbabwe. You go around the third world countries. That's the same kind of problem they have.
No, I think the main problem we're going to have... If you're to determine the success of this application, at least you're going to have to try it to relate it to our typical Zimbabweans. For example, this application is obviously going to use data, and we know that our mobile service providers are not going to supply us or provide the data services for this platform. I mean, Instagram has been here for a long time, but we haven't still received bundles for those. We still use daily bundles.
Yeah, so and most of the time they don't even have the infrastructure for it.
So yeah, that's one problem a regular normal user who doesn't have Wi-Fi is gonna face. What do you think, Chawaguta?
I think another thing to consider isn't just the cost of the internet; it's the speed of the internet itself. Think of just how much bandwidth you're going to need to carry a signal for a video chat.
Exactly.
Like right now, I actually struggle sometimes to video call my friends on WhatsApp.
You see.
Yeah, we're using Econet or NetOne, I'm assuming.
Using Econet and sometimes Zol.
See?
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. For me, Zol, when you use, when you use someone for Skype, that's actually pretty efficient. I haven't had that many problems. It only dropped, I think, a few times.
Who are you Skyping?
Shut up.
The problem is that Zol's speed fluctuates.
Yeah. It has its good days and it has its...
Exactly. Like, it has,
not
like,
so good days.
Days when it's really terrible, but then days where it's excellent. So then, yeah, you just have to catch it on the right day, I guess.
Fortunately enough, like 60% of the time, it's actually decent.
Yes.
Well, you know, with Tel One, it's like, it works, and then some days it's like, oh, did it rain just a bit? Nah, no internet for you. So yeah, it's like DStv, like the whole house just goes. When it's not raining, it's like,
I see you're watching Netflix. It would be such a shame if something were to happen to your internet right about now.
He's like, that's fine. I'll just go and watch on DStv.
Zessa. What up?
You know what? I'll just use my phone. No, Zessa. Yeah. Well.
Right. And the other messaging thingy.
So, okay. Now, I just got this very interesting fact. So WhatsApp introduced WhatsApp Web, as everyone knows it, yes. And WhatsApp for PC. So they're going to, they're actually shutting down WhatsApp Web.
For Symbian
and BlackBerry.
Well, I think it's logical considering that nobody's using those phones. I mean,
excuse you, 223,000 people bought a BlackBerry.
But what's that compared to a billion?
Oh no.
I would do the maths, but I
headshot.
You see, the thing is, I think they probably saw that, people are not getting rid of their devices. People got rid of their devices, but they're not doing it fast enough. And looking at it from a profit point of view, I mean, WhatsApp is going to be losing resources and capital trying to make support for these devices and like these fewer users compared to catering for more people that have more problems and need more support. So yeah, I think it's really logical at this point. And people will give it, a 6-month grace period to get rid of their phones.
Yeah, and I think it's like they've done the cost-benefit analysis and said, look, the cost it is to maintain BlackBerry and Symbian devices doesn't amount to the advertising, I think. I honestly don't understand WhatsApp's model, but yeah.
Exactly, like it's really confusing. But hey, they're making cash somehow, some way.
Somehow Facebook are making money.
Facebook has ads, so...
Yeah, no, as in like WhatsApp is owned by Facebook, you forgot?
Yeah, Facebook, Instagram.
And of course, there are all those rumors of Facebook selling people's data to big companies, ad companies.
Oh no, they do that. They don't do that like rumor. They do that. Like it's a fact.
They actually do that.
Yeah, they actually do that. But then again, they tell you that they're going to do it. And then you say, yeah, it's okay. So long as I can post my cat pics.
Whoever reads the terms and conditions though, literally, even when you're installing like software on your PC or...
Oh yeah, interesting fact. We don't really buy iTunes. You just install iTunes. When you install iTunes and you read the user manual, there's a part written: this software shall not be used in the making of bioweapons or biohazards. And it's just like what?
Wait, are you serious?
Serious?
I should. I have iTunes. I should totally go and see the user
manual. And I'm just like.
Suddenly, I feel like making a bioweapon out of iTunes or something.
How?
I don't know.
How?
I hadn't gotten that far. Okay,
we'll think of something and we'll come back with an update. But we're not terrorists. This is for science.
Okay, yeah.
It's purely for science.
Today is the 24th of February, and people woke up this morning to a really...
Should we call it interesting?
I don't know. For me, it was a surprise because I still remember I just woke up at like 1 a.m. and I looked at my WhatsApp and the contacts had disappeared and there was a weird camera icon. So then this was WhatsApp's way of keeping to their promise. They recently announced that earlier this week, they announced that they were going to be bringing change to the WhatsApp application and introducing instead of the old casual, traditional WhatsApp
new
status.
Emojis.
Well, besides
those ugly emojis.
No, besides the ugly emojis. They're like, hey, instead of your regular traditional WhatsApp status, your hi at the gym, busy, this, that, we're gonna introduce a video status. And this is gonna be in the form of video, pictures, or GIFs. So what do you guys think?
Basically, they're copying Snapchat, which is okay, I guess. I mean,
okay, at this point, I don't think they're copying Snapchat. Oh, you can't even say that they're copying Instagram, though, because it's all Instagram under the same company. Of course, Instagram copied Snapchat, but now is it even copying anymore if everyone's doing it?
I don't know. I feel like WhatsApp is losing that thing that made it special, you know, because now it's, hey, the thing is, I actually see this as a move by WhatsApp to take out Snapchat.
They are. Because, look, they're doing it at a time when Snapchat is literally about to go public. They're going to trade as a public company. They need that confidence in the market. And then you hear that, like, WhatsApp is like thousands of times bigger than Snapchat. They have more than a billion
subscribers.
Monthly users, actually. Yes. Monthly active users. And they are owned by a company that has billions of dollars. And then they literally say, hey, we're competing with you now. That's a big sign of intent.
Do you want to hear my conspiracy theory? Okay, this is my... Okay, Facebook is owned by, well, Mark Zuckerberg. He also owns Instagram and WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Okay, Snapchat introduces live videos. Facebook introduces live videos. Mm-hmm. Snapchat steals... an Instagram feature now it allowed people to post pictures on Snapchat. Then Instagram introduces temporary videos that disappear.
The one that disappeared 24 hours.
Yes. Yeah. Then it was square after that, right? Mm-hmm. Then now Snapchat announces last week that it's gonna be registering as an official company and be trading, and that. From now on, it's no longer going to be a non-profit organization, and it's now going to be making money. I mean, Snapchat is potentially worth tens of millions of dollars. If I said billion, I would have exaggerated. But then,
well, Candy Crush sold for $4 billion.
They're probably worth billions because a lot of people are there. WhatsApp was sold for $20 billion.
Yeah.
So they are probably worth billions. And now this is WhatsApp's move or plan to take out Snapchat before they can actually get to profit off Snapchat. And to be honest, to anyone who's on Snapchat, your application is now archaic and irrelevant.
Why are you still on Snapchat though?
Exactly.
Did you hear that, Snapchatters? Oh my gosh, if someone said that about Reddit, oh my gosh, I'd have gone crazy. Okay.
What do you guys think?
As much as it might seem like it's a negative thing, I also believe that WhatsApp in itself is actually becoming more well-rounded, catering to different people. So if you liked how Snapchat added stories and everything, and you enjoyed that feature, now you have it on a platform that you enjoy.
Yeah.
That everyone uses. Because you still enjoy the stories, but there's no one to see them.
Exactly. I greatly agree with that.
Because for me, it's like, when you look at Snapchat, like, they did something that was very, like... Because a lot of people had the concerns about privacy, right? And they introduced the whole thing of saying, look, after 24 hours, everything goes. It's like, you can have your memes, you can take your crappy photos, how your day went and everything, but they're gone. And that was the killing feature. And that's what everyone's trying to copy now. I remember when I saw Instagram's change and they incorporated the whole story thing, I was like, that actually makes sense. And that, and the fact that status now, which is the same, it's end-to-end encryption, like, it only goes to the people it needs to go to. No one can intercept it.
Of course.
And then, after 24 hours, it's gone for good. And you can always choose who you want to see it or not. Like, you can say, this guy shouldn't see it.
Yeah, so
stuff.
Basically Snapchat, the only difference is that the message is safe. That's the only difference.
Yeah, it's much safer than Snapchat or Instagram.
But I'm honestly still laughing because honestly, anyone who's working for Snapchat right now is probably under stress. I think Snapchat shouldn't have started this war.
But the thing is, I don't think they even started a war. They were literally their own thing. It's like imagine if I was making bread, right? And then someone come up and started making croissants, right? They're going to say, listen, I make my own thing, dude. I'm doing my own thing. And then all of a sudden, I'm the bread maker. And everyone knows me, the bread maker, like Lobbles. And then Lobbles all of a sudden decides, I want to start making croissants. It's going to be like, whoa.
It's still bread, though.
No, but the thing is,
it's still WhatsApp, though.
Snapchat was known for these 24-hour video photos thingies. Then when they started posting... that's when the situation got complicated.
Oh, those like what are they called again? Those they're not called stories, are they? They're the ones that
still stories, but then you can you can post them.
Post them.
You can literally grab something from your gallery and post it. You couldn't do that. And Snapchat and Instagram was like, this was our special thing. It was unique to us. Yeah. And why are you stealing this? That's when Instagram stole their features. And now, yeah, things on a downward spiral for Snapchat.
But then it goes back to what we were saying about Samsung and Apple. It's difficult to look back and say, this was started by Apple, so no one else can do it. This was started by Samsung, so no one else can do it. So at the end of the day, they end up copying each other, and everything becomes like, the products literally become the same kind of devices with different skins. So if you like the color yellow, go for Snapchat.
Yeah.
If you like green, go for WhatsApp.
Or if you like purple, blue, whatever.
Yeah, whatever Instagram is, go for Instagram.
And the other question. So now, the other question is that, how is the average user going to be able to relate to this? I mean, does it increase data costs?
That's another thing, because like a lot of people, the way their data works and how they do with WhatsApp was that, listen, I use WhatsApp mainly for texting, throwing a few images here and there from certain groups.
A bit of calling,
but calling doesn't use that much data, though.
Yeah, it actually...
An hour uses less than 50 megabytes.
Way. It's like, what, around 20 megabytes.
It's around 20
to 15. Yes.
Really? Wow. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the thing. And if you use the low data usage option, it could be even less.
Yes.
But then now you have to add the calculus equation, because the status updates, like if like every single person who is saved as a contact on your phone, you will be getting every single picture and video that they send. Now, I'm not sure if I wasn't able to check the download options. Like, can you decide that only download when you click or something? But then you're going to have to now manage that. Should I watch this update? Should I not?
So now the question is, are mobile service providers gonna support this? I mean, look at Zimbabwe. For instance, Econet is giving us, what, 90 megabits for a dollar.
Yeah, that's the one I usually use.
And the question is, are they gonna increase that?
Probably not. They're probably not gonna do anything about it. Because look, we've seen how they're reluctant to change the prices. And even when the whole Portras gate happened in Bundlegate, when, you know, people were looking for... When people were complaining about how the bundles were changing, they were reluctant. They didn't really want to do it. And Econet willingly just said, you're removing, with data tariffs are going up. Oh, cool. We'll just change the thing. They changed it like literally hours after the announcement. So I don't think they're willing to change as much. And I don't think they'll change. I don't predict them to change. Unless what might happen is that NetOne might decide, so there's a new update. So let's now make what? Status bundles as a way of competing. And then after that, Econet will have to respond, and hopefully something along those lines.
So basically, WhatsApp bundles with status DLC?
Yeah, basically. Status DLC or status add-ons.
Yeah, you need to. But is it really going to be worth it buying separate bundles, assuming that this is what happens?
I wouldn't know. But then the thing is, we're just going to have to hope for the best. But honestly... who knows? Maybe this might actually be a good thing, or maybe they're gonna give us an option to choose in between our traditional WhatsApp statuses or this video format. I really hope they give us that option, because some of us just want to keep things simple. Because the thing that made WhatsApp good was that it didn't consume a lot of data, and that you could just send a lot of messages for very little data.
I see Gary's getting emotional about his bundles.
Yes.
Yeah, he's getting very emotional.
You know, I'm getting emotional, but I don't use bundles.
That's the funny part, because like, I mainly use Wi-Fi, and that's where I'd usually do the whole status shtick at home with Wi-Fi. But when I get out, I'll be like, no. I don't want to use status. I don't want to use status, because it'll be a lot of usage. But I think what's even worse than that is the fact that Snapchat, interestingly enough, the news came out that Strive Asiwa was interested in buying shares of Snapchat, like getting involved in the IPO.
Interesting.
Which now makes a very interesting story, like cross story, that Masiwa wants to buy shares in Snapchat, but Snapchat having issues because of the WhatsApp status update. Then WhatsApp now is very, like, we could say that WhatsApp benefits a lot from Econet, because Econet has those WhatsApp bundles. Will we have a conflict of interest with Masiwa owning shares of Snapchat whilst concurrently owning shares of a company that supports its competitor?
Wow. I didn't think of it that way.
The bundle paradox.
Wow, that is a lot.
Gary's touched.
Yeah, it's a lot to think about because it's not. I just thought of it just now, and I was thinking, well, what would he do about that? Or will it matter that much? He's not really like an involved member, but shareholders have a lot of clout in the company. They make a lot of decisions and stuff.
Well, hey, we're just gonna have to see. But then, hopefully, everything works out in the end. I mean, especially for us being in a third world country and having data problems, we already have the most expensive internet in the region. So, yeah,
that is just. Yeah, I hate that statistic. I heard it, I think, first time in 2015. Does it still hold though?
I don't know.
It should. It should still hold.
Anyways, on a lighter mood, away from the depressing stuff. So, AMD. What do you think?
Do you think that's lighter?
Yes.
That's like, oh my God.
It's actually good. You're basically leaving one war and starting another war.
Wait, let me just start, you people.
Okay, so basically what happened is yesterday, AMD released their new Ryzen processors. We've been waiting for these for for a year. I've been waiting for this for a year because I'm kind of an AMD fanboy.
We all know that. Everyone knows that by now.
I make it quite clear. All right. So now they're competing directly with Intel for the CPU market share. And according to the benchmarks, basically you're going to have three tiers. The R3 processors, the R5 processors, and the R7s. So the R7 processors are going straight.
So the R3 is the lowest end.
The lowest end.
And the R7.
So they directly match their i7 and i5 and i3 equivalents.
So it's
basically
like,
that's how it's working.
So basically it's like iPhone 7.
No.
S7. So it's R3 and i3.
To some extent, you can say that.
Don't say no to me.
Like that.
Say no to Samsung because they're the ones who actually sped up their numbering so that it matches the iPhone or something.
Hashtag Note 7. Hashtag RIP Note 7. Moving on. Okay, so with this, they're going directly for the throat.
go on.
Gary, no.
Go on.
Gary, no.
Go on.
Okay.
You led yourself there.
No.
Go on.
Gary, please don't. All right. So basically, it's now a battle based on price to performance. The R7 7700X, sorry. Too much emotions. I'm not thinking straight now. The R7 1800X, their absolute top end CPU is competing directly with the i7 7700K, which is the Kaby Lake equivalent. And according to the benchmarks,
Kaby Lake being the latest Intel,
the first,
the latest Intel architecture in their TikTok cycle.
Yes.
All right. So with this, they're competing mainly on performance as compared to price. The R7 1800X is, well, according to AMD, is about 10 to 15% faster than the i7 equivalent at $200 less.
$200?
$200 less.
Because that's actually quite
cheap. The R7s are the only ones that have been announced, including the prices, which is for the R7 1800X.
Yeah.
For the R7 1800X, it's going to come out at $499 US.
So that's $500.
$500.
Okay.
And the 1700X, which is the next one going down, will be priced at $399, which is $400.
Yeah.
US.
They're good. I mean, they're pretty good prices. I think the thing is, a lot of people have come to just accept that Intel, they do the processors.
Like, yes.
I think it's only gamers who actually sit down and say, oh, you know what, I'm going to consider
it's
AMD.
Is my microphone on?
Yes, it is.
Is it on?
Yes, it is on.
Yeah, I'm preparing to purge Chawaguta.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, this is supposed to be X or Y section.
We just slid into the DMs of the story.
That was really good segue.
Okay. Now, let me start. The thing is, I don't believe in AMD. Okay. First things first. I mean, you could cook bacon on those GPUs and processors. Those things are hot. Okay. They'll melt your PC and probably melt your floor. Okay. So then the thing is, I've lost faith in AMD. Look at 2012, Sandy Bridge versus the Bulldozer Core. The Bulldozer Core seemed like a really good thing at first, but then people realized, hey, these things are overheating. Their clock efficiency is lame. And you know what? Comparing the same processors running at the same clock speed. That means what? A gigahertz for gigahertz. AMD processors were slower. Then in 2015, we saw a slight change when they introduced the Excavator Core, which also flopped because they were having problems with power efficiency and clock speed. So now in 2017, they're now bringing their Zen processors. And, well, I have to say the first Zen processors are really good because they showcased their efficiency, and they're also bringing a GPU with the Zen processors. So the thing is, can they stick? I mean, AMD has done this in the past. They always bring us these new hopes and everything, promises of a powerful processor that's going to change the game. But at the end of the day, they've flopped. I mean, they've done this four times in the past. Four times. This is their fifth chance.
For me, okay, I'm not an Intel fanboy at all. I don't care because, you know, whatever.
Whatever runs Crysis.
Whatever runs Crysis. What's important for me is that I play it the way it's meant to be played.
Oh, that's how I play. That's actually NVIDIA.
So I'll defend Intel.
Is this green team now?
I'm green team,
no,
man.
But then, like, look at this.
Watch out for Vega. I mean, hashtag team green.
I'm being real. Most people actually think these days that AMD stopped making processors, but it still is making processors. That's how dominated bad it is. Like, it's on the floor.
Okay, so people, when they look at their computers, what do they look for?
Intel
inside.
I've
never heard of AMD inside.
I don't see people saying, what Bulldozer is that? What Excavator Core is that? What Zen processor is that? You've ever heard people say that
sounded like names sounded like construction equipment and not in processes.
And the funny part is that
and
why,
sounds like
you know
a
what? Why? Wait, Chawaguta, you say AMD is good, right?
He said that. He believes in AMD.
Okay. You believe
I definitely
AMD.
Do
Look
believe
at the
in
color
AMD.
Of his blazer.
You believe in AMD, right?
Yes, I do.
Why do consumers and brands still opt for Intel, even though it's more expensive?
This is what you need to understand
CPU
with AMD.
And more power efficient than the AMD CPU. And it's got better clock speed than the AMD CPU.
Okay.
And it's got better temperatures.
We understand.
Dion, defend yourself.
I've been watching Mr. TCAP debate a lot, so...
Okay.
Here we go. All right. First, what you need to understand with AMD is that from the 2010s, when they released their first... please stop. When they released their...
Brain X has stopped responding.
Yes, brain.exe has stopped responding. Please restart your PC.
Something went wrong.
BSOD. All right. When they released their processors around the 2010s, basically what they were trying to do is not to compete on the performance front, because you always have to consider the price. Not everyone here is going to put a trust fund PC into their room. Gary, Mr. Gary, do you have a trust fund PC? Do you have a trust fund PC?
You're about to get one, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're trying to get one.
Yeah, a trust fund PC.
I'm saving up.
Do you have two Titan XPs?
Soon.
Exactly. Oh, here we go. Do you
Titan XP laughs at you.
The thing is, people who buy AMD processors are generally people on a budget. I mean, they're also
You didn't
trying,
even give me the mic
I mean,
long enough to defend
no,
myself.
No, TCAP, look at this. The people, you know what? You want a stove, you want a CPU at the same time. What do you buy? AMD processor. You can cook your food on it. You can do this. so you're getting two for the price of one. Okay? Yes.
That's why I would keep a machine fitted with an AMD CPU and GPU underneath my table as a foot warmer.
Okay. You guys, you seem like you're very, very antagonistic about AMD. But this is what you need to understand. This year, what they're planning to do, because they haven't even released the processors yet. You don't even know what heat they're running at. You don't even know if they can cook eggs.
We're not even sure if it's 40 degrees or 50 degrees.
Hey, but the thing is, they're hot. Literally.
Like me.
I knew there was that kind of comment would pop up.
Of course.
Okay, but on a serious note, though, maybe this could actually be the year that AMD brings change. I mean, 5 years later.
Please, can I defend myself now? Because it seems like I'm just sitting out here doing jack. All right. Basically, my opinion on all of this is that AMD this year, what they're planning to do is not to compete directly on the front of performance, even though we know they can, based on the benchmarks that they're producing. And, you know, what makes me believe these benchmarks is that AMD even includes the benchmarks where they lost, like in Ida 64, where they lost on the temperature. Please, Gary, please don't.
Temperature. They're hot.
But still, even if they're hot, are your stock coolers? Please. Do your stock coolers even RGB, bro?
Because the new
AMD Wraith stock coolers are going to have RGB LEDs, so.
Yeah, no, but then okay. Looking at the brighter side, they are up to date comparing them to the other processors that AMD has released in the past. I mean, in the past, AMD has released processors that didn't have as many cores as their counterparts, or as powerful as their counterparts, and everything. This time, they're actually really trying. And
at this point, all of the CPUs that they've announced for pre-order starting today are going to be 8-core 16-thread CPUs.
Exactly.
But as compared to the Intel CPUs, the per-core performance is higher, 10 to 15%.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, Gary.
But I think with AMD, that was all fun and joke, but then seriously, I wish AMD could be more competitive. But I think it's not a problem of the company or their processes or anything. I think it's more of a problem of, like, just business stuff. The fact that Windows is already, like, suited for Intel processes.
Yes.
You know, NVIDIA is already suited for
I really Intel don't understand processes. How you say that. Windows, how is it geared towards Intel processes?
The
optimization is the same.
No, the thing is, more applications on Windows are optimized for what? Intel. I mean, you even have games that are optimized for Intel. Grid 2 is optimized for Intel processors.
That's what Intel tells
me. Dion, what I'm saying is that, because I've seen what people with budget laptops running that game at smooth FPSs without much GPU assistance. Wow, but then try it on an AMD. No, Dion, what I'm saying is that, not that they literally say Windows for Intel, but basically that, like, when someone makes an app or a game or something, they do it on an Intel machine, then they study it, they test it on an Intel machine, and then they release it for Intel machines. It's not like they sit down and say, a lot of them don't sit down and say, oh, let's try it on AMD as well, let's try it on this. The majority of people just say, if it works on Intel, it probably will work.
But don't you think that AMD now is trying to get up there and out there?
That's why, like,
for as long as I've known, If you're building a budget PC, Gary, what are you going to buy?
Honestly,
an AMD FX8300.
No. I would actually go for a Pentium G. G45.
Denial.
Wait, let me finish. I would go for a Pentium G4550. Okay?
Oh yeah, your Pentium fetish.
You and your Pentiums.
Or, because this is the thing.
Let me
finish my point. No, what's the point of saving money that's going to cost you more in the end? Because, you know, overheating, you're going to need a really, really good, nice cooling system.
Do you honestly believe that?
Wait. You're going to need a good cooling system. And if your AMD GPU overheats, if your AMD CPU overheats, it's going to affect your hardware. And at the end of the day, you're going to end up spending more money replacing those things, your motherboards, your RAM, your thingies, and everything. than a person who just, what, sacrificed $200 more and bought an NVIDIA or Skylake or Kirby Lake or whatever it is.
Broadway.
That's my point. Broadway. Okay? And this is a solid argument. I think people out there listening, they're probably saying, wow, I wish my son was this smart. Yes, I know.
Well, you know, I like it when Gary is so emotional. It makes crushing him so much more fun. So now you're telling me that Intel is better on the performance front and stuff like that. But so you're telling me the benchmarks are wrong. All of the benchmarks.
No, I agreed on that.
You're telling
part.
Me.
No, wait. Let me finish. I agreed on that part. I did say, Guti, this might be the year that AMD brings change.
I am so happy I'm an NVIDIA fanboy.
It's too early to judge this. That's the thing. It's too early.
It's too early.
I mean, look at it in 2012. The bulldozer cores were way better compared to the first Sandy Bridge processors. Yep. But look at how it ended for them. You see, same thing is happening right now.
Okay, there was
it's
one.
It's too early. There's only one Kirby Lake processor out there consumer.
Can I just say one final point?
You can commit suicide. It's your own thing.
Say one final point as we close? The most interesting part about yesterday's benchmarks as AMD were launching their CPUs is that one of the tests had two PCs, same specs, except for one thing.
What?
They were running Cinebench at max settings. The Intel CPU had 32 gigs of RAM helping it. The AMD CPU had 16 gigs of RAM.
So half as much.
The AMD beat it.
Wow, that's nice. Wow, I did not see that coming.
You
wow.
did not see that coming.
Yep.
The thing is about all of this is that we can go on forever. And sadly, we cannot go on forever. So I think the best thing we can do is say, listeners, tell us what you think about whether or not the AMD Ryzen will truly bring the Core i whatever's into disrepute and bring competition to where it belongs. Or will Intel keep running around, you know, rolling as they usually do?
I mean, the floor is even open to you Xbox and PS4 called peasants.
But don't they use AMD as well? So they'll probably be on your side. Yeah. So thank you for listening, everyone. This has been a podcast.
Hey, those guys that are using hybrid Windows tabs use Intel, right? Yeah, support me.
No, they use ARM stuff.
No, they're those ones that use those funny Atoms thingy.
Oh.
Yes.
You support Intel Atom?
No.
Gary, Intel, Qualcomm. Gary.
If you have an NVIDIA graphics card, hopefully a GeForce something, just like... Yeah.
The entire NVIDIA graphics line is called GeForce, by the way.
They used to have a Quattro anything. I can't remember.
No, dude. Quadro. You want to buy a $4,000 GPU that's meant for animation studios. You want to
they
buy the
GPU.
Yeah, they actually still have it. Like the Quadro, what was it? M9000. That was released this year. Along with the, sorry, not this year. Last year. Along the Titan XP and the GTX 1080. Based on that GPU 104.
Is it the $5,000 GPU?
Yes.
With 24 gigs of RAM? Yes.
Hashtag PC Master Race. Even though the frame rates weren't better than...
That one is meant more for...
animation studios.
Exactly.
Guys. Gary, where can they find you?
Fine. You guys can catch me on Instagram. My name is Hugo Docking Flack. Or you can also see our page and follow and like our videos on Instagram.
Flacco.
At Tech Knowledge Podcast. Tech Knowledge, which is now like spelled as Tech Knowledge. Get it? Yes.
Knowledge.
Right now.
Now.
Oh, Dion?
Pun unintended. That was dry. Anyways, the point is you can catch us there. And Dion?
You can catch me on my WhatsApp story, eh?
Yeah, I was how are we going to do that? I'm not going to give people my number, but
you can look for it.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if they make. I don't know. Find me at EC, I guess.
It's unfortunate that Gary here is taken. He's definitely off the market, ladies.
So you guys, give us your feedback. What do you think? Where we might have gone wrong, or like, is Trump's admin calls it alternative facts? Yeah, where we might have used those. What you think? Your opinions and everything. So yeah, be sure to share us with
Intel fanboys not welcome.
Intel fanboys are welcome to tweet me. I am Dion Spring. That's my Twitter handle. I am DionSpring. Please don't ask me why it's Spring. And yeah, you can also find the Facebook page.
Because he's flexible.
Twitter page. That's Technology FM. Technology FM as an FM radio. Yes, and that's about it. Thank you for listening. Yeah, peace out, everyone. If your feelings were hurt because you're an NVIDIA fanboy or an AMD fanboy, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Intel fanboys up in the don't comments. Count.
Okay, peace.
And now. Capital 263.